Teach us to pray, part four. Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray, not Jim. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, if you believe the writings of the Apostle Paul, and I'm just going to say right now, everybody in here is going to say, yeah, well, it's in the Bible, written word of God, inspired. Paul says, I know how to be content in every situation. Now, how line that up with what you're praying for? They don't match. Do they? Because you wouldn't be praying for something. Because you're feeling like this situation, this thing that I'm in, I got to get out of it. Paul said, I knew how to be content in every situation. I knew how to be, if I was full, I knew how to be hungry. If I was abased, I knew how to abound. Vice versa, I knew in every situation wherewith to be content. And I used to think content was such a bad word, but then I began to realize there's rest in it. Because I knew that God is working on my heart. And I'm going to tell you what, guys, God is always working on my heart. Just the other night, I realized something about God. I didn't know. Here we are on Wednesday nights, and I'm realizing Paul had an honest heart. And these situations, they come up and they start pecking at you like little chickens, you know. Little foxes will spoil a vine. They used to have chickens and they just peck at you. Gnaw at you like little fleas and lice and itch you and scratch you. Won't leave you alone, Clyde. They won't. They're just always in there. And I realize something, guys. And, you know, I tell you guys, I mean, I'm an open book. You guys know that. I stand here just open before you because I want you to see. When I'm talking an honest heart before God, I was brought to a confession the other night. Brought to a confession, some things that's going on. I'm milling around and these thoughts come in your head. And you know, you don't even realize it, Clyde, at the time. You don't even realize where you're going, but I've come to the fact that I just need to go ahead and be honest because, you know, I got God over here and it's all well and good and I think I'm being honest. But He knows. He knows the darkness, the every nook and cranny and holler that's in my heart. And He won't rest, thank God. He won't rest until His light fills it all. You know, we were talking Wednesday night about the law being unrelenting. It won't let up. I love that. It won't let up. It won't let any rest. You know, when they come in there, they didn't let any survive. In this kingdom, there will be no darkness. No darkness at all. Every nook and cranny, ever under rock and hiding place, He'll search it out and draw it out. And I'm thinking about all this stuff that was going on and these thoughts that just come in my mind. And I know you're going to think these things are crazy, but, you know, I always tell you. Because I read the scriptures and in reading the scriptures I see things that happen in the scriptures and all of a sudden worry creeps in. When worry creeps in, there goes my rest, right? I don't know about you guys, but how many of you's got worry? How many of you's got worry? And I'm gonna tell you, if you don't, you're a liar. But I'm telling you right now, don't put worry on saying, and here's one of the biggest lies. One of these days, guys, we won't have no worry. That's hogwash. Don't buy it. You're deceived. I'm saying today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
There's a rest left unto the people of God, and in that rest, there's no worry. Paul didn't worry. Peter didn't worry. Peter, they're going to cut your head off in the morning. How would it feel to you, Derek, if they said, Derek, in the morning, Iraqis are going to show up here in the morning. I've got you in prison. I'm going to bring you out for everybody and cut your head off. They did that to James the day before. What was Peter doing? Peter was in his prison cell in rest, sound asleep. I always think the angel had to kick him to wake him up. There's a rest left unto the people of God. Now, how does he work with that rest? When we have an honest heart before God. And here's what it was, because we got worried, but here's where our prayer goes, isn't it? Here's the way our prayer is. We see the situation, we're worried about it. We can't control it. So then we start praying, Lord, if you'll fix this situation. Lord, if you'll do this. Lord, if you'll do that. Get me out of this situation. Or change this situation. Guys, I'm telling you to come before the Lord with an honest heart. That's what I had to do the other night, and I tell you what I did. I began to realize, and this is so stupid. There's my kids back there, and you know, they'll go here, and they'll do this, and do this. And then, have you ever just started worrying about your kids? Man, I hope we're all right. Hope we're all right. And this just kept growing and growing. Hope we're all right. Hope we're doing well. And it just kept gnawing at me, gnawing at me, gnawing at me. And then you get all these thoughts going through your mind. And finally, I had to confess. I said, Dear Holy Father, I'm scared of you. See, he worked it out of me, Clyde. He just got right down into the nook and cranny, and I had to jump right up, Patty, and say, you know what? I'm telling everybody, fear not, fear not, fear not, and I'm sitting here with fear that you're going to take something away from me. See, I just had it. My brothers and sisters, there's freedom in that. There's something in there that now the Lord can minister to me in that situation. It wasn't something I had hid under a rock. He knew it was hid under the rock. I didn't know it was hid under the rock. But he drew it out. And I began to say, you know what? And when I understood this about Paul, I said, man, whatever I have in my heart, I'm going to bring it right to the Lord. I'm going to live a life of repentance. I'm going to live a life of confession. Oh, Lord, I'm scared of you. And you know what? I ain't got the ability to change it. Unless you show this thing to be so, I'm stuck right here. And that's what I'm telling you. You got worries. You got to bring that thing. You got to come to God and say, God, you know why I got worries, Derek? Because I don't trust you. That's why you got worries, because I don't trust you. I'm coming to you with an open heart and saying, Lord, here I am. You know the condition of my heart. I'm full of worry. I'm full of trouble. And I just don't trust you. Then you see, prayer things can evolve out of that. You see what I'm talking about? Lord, teach us to pray. And all these prayers, guys, I'm telling you, they come out of children and they come out of not trusting God. Fear of God. Three Hebrew children, you know, they just come to my mind right out of the gate. We don't know if God's going to save us, and that's irrelevant. We know He's able. We know He's able. And whatever His desire is for us, it'll be all right. If He wants to save us from the fire, listen to me, or go through it. Because I'm here to tell you, sometimes you're going through it. But don't ever think you're going through it alone. And see, this is what I'm talking about, Christ in you. When this really begins to sink in, man, when I begin to get a hold of this, it would scare me to step outside of the bounds of Christ. Because I think, how in the world could I ever function a second without Him? I wouldn't want to. And you know, I see people, I talked to this guy, I won't tell you who, the other day. I seen him and I went and talked to him, and I didn't know the guy, and I just felt like I needed to talk to him, and we were talking for a while, and when I left there, I said, you know, just a cry in my heart, and I could just hear a slave crying from Egypt. Guy said, both my shoulders are tore up. I used to work in the mines, and now, I'm on a getting a check, and I don't have enough money. My wife's in the hospital, and I'm trying to raise kids, and my shoes are all busted out, and I ain't got nothing. My light bill's $500. I don't know what I want to do. You think this is not common? This is everywhere. This is everywhere. Single parents trying to raise kids, drugs and alcohol, everywhere. Man, the slavery and bondage of Egypt is everywhere, and every home is affected by it. But there is so great a salvation that we neglect. Yeah. A great salvation. Jesus didn't come here to die on that cross and be bludgeoned to a pulp so that it could be some glad day. That's not God. That's not. I'm evil and I know how to give good gifts to my kids. I can just see them say, "Daddy, I'm hungry. One of these days, George, you're going to eat." They don't want some of these days. They want to eat now. There's a rest now. If there's a rest now, there must be a labor going on. I can hear Jesus say, "One of these days, y'all can come unto me, and I'll take you with me to heaven." He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Amen. That was a current statement, and it still is today. I know we say resting under the burdens of the law, but that law was there to create a terror. It was, Clyde. It was a schoolmaster to push us and to bring us to Christ if we're honest in our hearts about it. It's there to say God is really not pleased and you can't trust Him, because that's what the law does when you apply it to you. It'll work its course in you and it'll bring you to that confession, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the things that I do? Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Not all wretched things that I do, but all wretched man that I am. I said something Wednesday night, and I probably shouldn't say this in the public, but I'm going to anyway. You're not going to like this, but I just want to tell you the truth of it. Old Jacob wrestled with that angel all night long, didn't he? Jacob wrestling. See, this ain't the prosperity gospel. This ain't the self-realization gospel if you look at it on the good side, but this is on the right side. Jacob wrestled with the angel all night long, and the angel wouldn't let him go until he did what? He had to confess his name. "What's your name?" "Jacob." Finally. You know what Jacob's name means? Jacob's name means supplanter. Now, supplanter means Derek is sitting there and I want to remove him from his seat and sit there myself. Now, who does that sound like? Jacob. I'm going to hold on to you till you confess who you are. Jacob had to confess, "You know what, guys? I'm the Antichrist. I've been trying to take your place, Jesus. I've been trying to take the vineyard for myself. I've been trying to take your spot." I know it's not a popular message. But then the angel come back and said, "You know what? Now that you've brought to me an honest heart, now I can show you your real name. I can write into your heart a new name. Your name is Israel." And then he brought a confession. "I've seen God's face." You see, I'm asking you to bring an honest heart. An honest heart before the Lord. And all of this, Lord, teach us to pray. Let me read you some scriptures here. We were here last week. I know, you see, let me follow this up a little bit. I talked about this a little last week. I mean, where can you go to hear what I just told you? Nowhere. It's probably why we don't have many people come out. Because I'll tell you the truth. Just like Jesus did. He said, "Oh, you're of your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. You're not of your father Abraham. If you were, you'd do the deeds of Abraham. But you go about to kill me. You go about to supplant me. You want to be more like me." Isn't that the prayers of people? "Oh, I pray that I can be more like Jesus." Why? So I can take his spot. Revelation says he'll be our God and we'll be his people. It's not going to be the other way around. That's the lie from the beginning. If we eat this, we'll be like gods. As soon as I get to be like him, I won't need him no more, and then I'll take over. We see the heir coming, and we want to kill the heir and take the vineyard for Your soul is the promised land, and this book is about him. And listen, God was making something for his son. You are a vessel for deity, a vessel to be filled with holiness. You're not the holiness. He is. You're the vessel that contains it. And what happened is you filled the vessel with you. Until there come a falling away, and the son of perdition be revealed, who has set himself up and exalted himself in the temple of God. Know ye not, you are the temple of the living God? And all God is there for is to work for me. God, get me out of this. God, do this. God, release this. God, you know, God's about to release this. He's about to release you. You're the darkness. Wait a minute. Ye who are sometimes darkness are now light. That Adam nature is the darkness. And we're so filled with it. I could come up with a little word that we use on children all the time. It's called selfishness. Lord, teach us to pray. Let me show you something here. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. We were here last week. I'm just going to stay here. Enter into the closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret. Thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. Go into the closet, he said. What do you think he's talking about here? A closet out there that we put your coats in? Okay, guys. I mean, Patty stood up here. She just violated that scripture. Patty should have went back yonder in the closet. Praise. Is that what he's talking about? I mean, that's the way a lot of people will look. Natural. Go into a closet. Go into a bathroom and pray. Let me tell you, I searching on this word closet, you know what it means? A secret place, a secret chamber. It also means this. Check this out. Upper room. Huh. I believe there was something. Go into that upper room. Go get that upper room and prepare that place. And I might do what? Eat the Passover. Go into the upper room. Paul said, I swept up into the third heaven. You see, this is the place where God hears prayer. You don't hear it over here. He hears it right here. I mean, this is words of Jesus. Enter into thy upper room. Let me show you some scriptures here. Matthew 24 and 26. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers. Believe it not. Same thing. Closet, secret chambers. Well, wait a minute. You just told me to go into the secret place and pray. And now you're telling me if they tell you he's in the secret place, don't go in there. No, which is it? You see, if you try to take this natural, guys, you'll be lost. And he was about to show them he wasn't in there. When that veil was rent from top to bottom, and they looked into the temple, they saw it was a sham. The ark wasn't in there. Aaron's rod and bud wasn't in there. Moses or the golden pot of manna wasn't in there. The ark of the covenant wasn't in there. There wasn't nothing in there, Clyde. They saw it was a sham. It's empty. If they tell you he's in that secret place, they tell you if you'll send you $20 so God can rebuild the temple in Israel so that he can come again, don't listen to them. They're lying. They're lying. I mean, I just read to you Matthew 24. He's not in that secret place, nor will he ever be in that secret place anymore. Jesus is not entered into temple made with hands, but into heaven itself. Let me show you a couple more scriptures. Because I told you this wasn't a natural house. Luke 12:3. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. Now I want you to understand something here. The darkness, what's spoken in the darkness, we can look at this two or three different ways, but here I want to tell you, the darkness shined out a light, because when you go into the secret place, into the most holy place, there's no light in there until he appears. So it's a place of utter darkness. When you go into this place, shall be heard in the light. That which he has spoken in the ear in the closets shall be proclaimed in the housetops. Now, look at verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Storehouse, same word. Same word. Storehouse. Wait a minute. What does storehouse remind me of when I'm looking at storehouse and all this? I'm looking at one of the greatest messages that's ever been preached into the church today. Oh, God, if you'll bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse, God will open it. See, if you'll do something for God. Now, let me just tell you something. Y'all believe this for what it's worth. Don't worry about giving it to God. If y'all give all your money to me, I'll make sure he gets a portion of it. Y'all laugh, but I need a little money. Isn't that the message? Bring your tithes. But wait a minute. Enter into thy secret place. Enter into the storehouse. Tithes and offerings. Let me go back over here to Malachi. Old Malachi. Bring ye all the time, Malachi 3:10, into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now wherewith saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Won't be room enough to pour you out a blessing. I believe Paul got a hold of that right there, didn't he? He said, all blessings. Been blessed with all blessings, whereat in heavenly places, whereat in Christ. Window open. Huh, it sounds like the ark, don't it? A little window. Third story. Paul swept up into the third heaven. Sounds like the most holy place to me. He said that's where you go to pray. Go into the most holy place. Now, you can read this. I wrote this down here last night. You can read this from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 4 through 7. This is about Melchizedek and Abraham paying tithes to Melchizedek. And I just want to show you something here. Verses 4 through 7. Again, consider the greatness and dignity of this man, the priesthood which he represented, so that even Abraham our father gave the tithe unto him. Now we're talking about Melchizedek. Abraham paid Melchizedek. But listen to this. And this was not the tithe commanded by law, for Abraham lived 400 years before the law. But this was the recognition of faith. Did you just hear what I just told you? This was the pay your tithes and offerings. This was the recognition of faith. See, today everybody's after your money. But the Lord is after, Paul would use this word many times, the acknowledgement of the mystery. The acknowledgement of the mystery. The recognition, the acknowledgement. Come to the acknowledgement. The acknowledgement, the recognition of faith concerning him who was yet to come. The Levitical priesthood who were descended from Abram received tithes by commandment of the law from all of God's people who were also descendants of Abraham. But Melchizedek was not descended from Abraham, and yet Abraham paid tithes to him, and Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And we all know that the one who has the power and position to bless is always seen to be the greater than the one who receives the blessing. I'm going to go into this next week because I want to use the board, but there's a couple things I want to cover today. Because what we got to get to, guys, is what is God's desire? What is God's intention? What is his ultimate intention? Because if we don't understand that, I'm going to tell you what, guys, that's why the churches are divided today, because they have no view of the end. What is God's goal? Well, God's goal is to get everybody to heaven. Well, why don't you just put everybody there from the get-go? I mean, there's got to be something else. And what we'll begin to see is most of these things that we look at as concerning the end or God's goal or God's ultimate intention is something that's self-centered. God wants a big family, you know. God wants this. God wants that. You know, all these carnal things that we've come up with. But guys, I'm not going to come up with nothing except what's in the Scripture. Okay? Because I tell you, what's going to be in the Scriptures is He wants the increase of His Son. He wants all things to be seen in the light of Jesus. But we'll go through all that. Because I can tell you what He's after. What He's after is holiness. Holiness. But here in Malachi, before we get to Malachi 3:10 and enter into the secret place, he says in Malachi 3:1, "Behold, I'll send my messenger." You know what I told you last week? That God's always doing things in cycles, always repeating. Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacle. Tabernacle's just another look at Passover. And He's always doing this in our hearts. And here He says, "I'll send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me." I'll send my messenger. He'll prepare the way before me. Let me go back here to Matthew just a little bit. Matthew 11 and 7. "And they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind?" I always think when I hear these verses, I think, what went you out to the wilderness? Notice where He's at. He's in the wilderness. What did you go out there to see? I often ask people, what did you go to church for? To get excited? A reed shaking with the wind? I mean, you know, to hear something good about yourself? Or do you want to, you know, hear about the King? I mean, "But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses." This guy was wearing a leather girdle, camel skin, eating bugs. "But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, unto, I say unto you, more than a prophet." What do you mean more than a prophet? How in the world was John more than a prophet? This is Jesus talking. He says, listen, you went out to see a prophet. Everybody wants to go out and hear a word from the prophet of God, don't they? Hear a word from the prophet of God. "Oh, prophet of God, tell me what God's destiny is for me." The cross. "For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thee." We just read that in Malachi, "Before thy ways, before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Yea, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom." Are you hearing what I'm saying? This great prophet, he that's least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. And I know my flesh and your flesh is jumping right into that verse right there. And what is it saying? What's your flesh telling you right now? Guys, we're in the kingdom and we're greater than John. I've heard that all my life, guys, but I'm going to tell you what, he might not be talking about you right here. He that's least in the kingdom is greater than John. Because the Scripture says, this is a testament. Jesus said, man, this thing, search the Scriptures, they testify of me. The volume of the book's written to me. Well, Jesus, I thought, where am I in here? "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, the violent take it by force, for all the prophets prophesied it. Or for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you will receive it, this is Elias or Elijah." He's saying John the Baptist come in the spirit of Elijah. If you'll receive it. So me and my stupidity, I'm just looking around and I'm thinking, well, let me just go back and see a little bit about old Elijah. So just go with me to 1 Kings 17. And listen, do you know that in the law that Moses gave, there was no command to pray? You ever read the Ten Commandments? Everybody knows the Ten Commandments. Which commandment says thou shalt pray? I wonder why that is. Well, I mean, Moses didn't give no decree to pray, did he? For one thing, I just want you to understand this. Jesus gave instructions to enter into the secret place or the most holy place, and that's where prayer is heard. How could they get there, Patty? There was a veil up. I mean, it would almost be like, man, I know if I could get back to that spot where God is, because that's where he said, I'll meet you between the cherubims. They knew God was back there, and if I wanted to talk to him, I had to get back there. But there's a veil here, Clyde, and there is no way for me to get back to that spot. So there was no command to pray. They did, however, just as people do now, but that's the place. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, and you can read this in James, here's his prayer. I'm in 1 Kings 17, 1. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now that's his prayer. I mean, you go read this in James, and you'll see that's his prayer. He didn't beg God, oh God, if you will, to, you know. He said, there'll not be rain. As the Lord God before whom I stand. Are you before whom I stand. There'll not be rain or dew these years according to my word. You know what this is? I mean, this went over 3.5 years. This is Jesus in his ministry. What do you mean Jesus in his ministry? This is Gideon in his fleece. The fleece, the first time he put the fleece out was all wet. The ground was all dry, not even dew on the ground. See what I'm talking about? This is the fleece. This is the fleece. But, you know, me and my reading here, just skip over to verse 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go in, dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it. That word there is son. Bane. It means a builder, a nation. Elijah said unto her, fear not. My Lord, you see now why I'm, you know, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, bring it into me, and after make thee for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, till the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Let me just skip down to verse 17. Not worried about the barrel of meal right now. But it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, my gosh, we were in Revelation 12, wasn't we? This woman brought forth the son, but the son of the woman, the son, I wonder what woman it is. We can say your son, we can say Mother Jerusalem, mother of us all, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was sore, that there was no breath left in him. The son of the house fell sick. I wonder what he was sick of. Now, who is this son? We're talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What was his sickness? He who knew no sin was made to be sin. And this sickness was unto death. There was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do in this hour? Isn't this how our prayers come about? What have I to do with thee? I thought if I started going to church and doing all these wonderful things and had a son and you blessed me, that everything would be good. Have you ever got to the point where you're coming to God and said, what have I had to do with you? You've taken everything. I don't know about you guys. I'm being honest with you about these things. What have I to do with thee? I don't thought you was this and that, and I don't understand. O thou man of God, art thou coming to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? I mean, is this what you're doing, bringing my sin to remembrance? That's why I had to bring this confession before the Lord. I'm scared of you, God. Why? Because there's still a consciousness of sin there. So everything I'm doing, I'm thinking he's going to deal with me according to some secret sin or something that I haven't confessed or done or changed or whatever. See, it's the anchor of that old religion that always pulls your heart back into the clutches of condemnation. Fear not. I mean, are you going to call my sin to remembrance, God? Are you going to take my kids? Are you going to take my family away from me? I mean, what are you going to do here? And I know if you do it, and here's the thing, I know I'm worthy of it. Don't you? I mean, if the Lord right now in his great wrath, poured out wrath, would you think you're worthy of it? I mean, if you're honest with yourself, you would. You'd say, my Lord. You know? I'm worthy of this. But this is coming on the son. But the woman, she's also involved here. He said unto her, give me thy son. Man, what a statement here. Isn't this what Abraham had to do now? Abraham, the man of faith, the man to pay tithes unto Melchizedek because Melchizedek was greater. Isn't this the command that God told him? Abraham, bring now thy son. Take now thy son, thine only son, even thy firstborn. I done got over Ishmael here. And now, you want me to do this thing? You know, there was a scripture over here in Luke. Let me go over here to Luke here a second. Luke chapter 2. This is when Simeon is about to circumcise Jesus. Simeon blessed them and said unto them, Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel for a sign, which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts and of many hearts may be revealed. It took this piercing, guys. Do you see what I'm saying? It took this piercing for this to be revealed. Be revealed to who? It was revealed to me. Do you think this was news to God that I was scared of him? It had to be revealed to me. Why? Because he's the great high priest, and the high priest ministers. The whole have no need of a physician until I say, Lord God Almighty, I'm scared of you, Father. Truthfully, I'm scared of you. I'm up here preaching and telling everybody to trust you and love you, and it's secret in myself. I'm scared of you. What do you mean scared of you? Guys, do you know how many times we've worried about even if we can pay the bills up here? Why? Because we ain't trusting him. Be made unto you all things. That's good. All right, great. I'll be made unto you all things. Oh, Lord, how are we going to pay the light bill? Oh, Lord, how are we going to do this? I'll be made. And you know what, guys? We never missed one. We ain't been one penny short, ever. can't figure it all out. But as a piercing sword that reveals the thoughts of the heart down in there. And it hurts. And he told Mary, you know what, Mary, this thing is going to pierce your very soul. And I'm telling you what, the gospel will pierce your very soul. I'm telling you, the very gospel will make you uneasy. What do you mean make you uneasy? Because it'll drive you into a place where you have nothing else. I'm telling you, it will, guys. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. Jealous God, he'll have no other gods before him. He'll tear them all down, Clyde. When the Lord begins to work in your heart, he will tear every god that you have built up in your soul down. Pull it up by the roots. Now, is that because he's mean and jealous? No, because they've all been there for your destruction. Every one of them. When I'm talking about I'm crucified with Christ, we talked about this Wednesday night. It wasn't for Paul's destruction. It was for Paul's salvation. Yes, yes. The wrath of God abides on the children of disobedience, on the ones who perish. But coming to the cross is not for your destruction. But it's for your saving. As Noah in the days of the ark, 8 souls entered into the ark. The rest of them were destroyed, but those that entered into the ark, it was their salvation. The cross is your salvation. That's hard to get a hold of. I'm crucified with Christ. Let me keep on reading here. He said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him into a loft. Oh my God, here's the daggone upper room again. Here's a secret place. Carry the son into the upper room. Something's going to take place in this upper room. This boy is dead. Enter into this upper room. When you pray, enter into this upper room. When you pray, what's in an upper room, Clyde? Death. They went into the upper room and ate the Passover. What was the Passover? Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood. It was the slain lamb. There's death in this room. Lord, teach us to pray. You see where it's going to start out? It's going to start out right in not your name, because there's a death here. Now you see, enter into thy closet. See, we just read over that real quick. We want to get down to the meat of matter. Lord, give us our daily bread and bless us and we forgive you and all this. No, enter into the closet first. You need to enter into this place of death. Ah, Lord. Where he abode and he laid him upon his own bed. I mean, laid him on it. I see Joseph of Arimathea entering into the upper room and laying Jesus in a brand new tomb. And he cried unto the Lord God, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child. I'm telling you what, right here in this book, Jesus is both Elijah and the son. Now you go figure that out, because it's about him. He's both. He stretched himself. You know, guys, I went and looked this word up. He stretched himself, you know. You know what it means? It means to measure. It means as if by stretching a line. Stretching a line. My God, you know who I'm thinking about right here? I'm thinking about Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 40. Ezekiel chapter 40, after the destruction of the city. Go read it. After the city is destroyed, he encounters a brass man, a man of judgment, with a measuring line in his hand. Stretched himself. You see, before you're ever going to see anything in the glory of holiness, you're going to have to go through this death. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it works out. Stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul, let its life come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. Now, who is Elijah here? Elijah's Christ. Now, who does the Lord God's voice did he hear? Did he hear the woman's voice? I want you to think on this. Did he hear the woman's voice? Now, I've got to ask, does he hear Denise's voice? He only hears the voice of his son. I want you to gravitate, because Jesus done told him, you've never asked anything in my name. It's the name of the Son. Never ask anything in my name. The soul of the child came again unto him, again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, faith cometh by hearing. And then there's a turning to see. See? Do you see, woman? Do you see, church? Thy son liveth. And the woman said unto Elijah, now by this. Now by what? Now by seeing. Now by seeing the son, I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. That word is truth. See, that's got to come to the confession of the church, to Mother Jerusalem. See that thy son liveth. They'll all say that he lives. Glory to God, Jesus is alive. But no, you need to see. Now, the man of God, when he came out of there preaching like today's preacher, he'd have said, your son's alive, and bless God, one of these days, you'll get to see. And if I'd have been that woman, I'd hit him right in the mouth. Wouldn't you? I mean, you guys got kids, you know exactly. I mean, how would you feel if your son was dead? And here comes old preacher Jim Moore up and says, don't worry about it, Derek. One of these days, you'll see your son again. Heck with that. And I'm using the mildest word I can, because it does me no good. That means I'm in grief for the next 1,000 years. Don't. Because if I can't see him now, I'm a mess. Mm. The church needs to see now, Clyde. Now, I see thy son liveth. Well, God does things over and over. Let's just go to 2 Kings and look at the same story again. It fell on a day, I'm in 2 Kings 4 and 8. It fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem. There was a great woman. Now we got a great woman here. She constrained him. Man, I can't wait till the church begins to constrain Jesus. I cannot wait till their heart is after him with a passion like Paul's was. She constrained him to eat bread, and so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. She said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passes by us continually. Now, this was in the old covenant. The man of God went by there all the time. My God, this is more than he done this more than what he does in the church today. The man of God's passing by continually. This type and shadow of Jesus here. But the church world says one of these days when he comes back, he passes by continually. Let us make a little chamber. Oh my God, let's make a little temple. Let's make a little tabernacle. Let's make a holiest of all. And in that, I pray thee, on the wall, let us set for him there a bed. My God, we got a resting place. We got a place to lay the dead. A table. We got a table to show bread. 6 loaves on either side, Jew and Greek, buried together with him. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. We got a stool. I looked this word stool up. You know what it means? It means a covered throne. You can look it up. The stool. Let's make in this little chamber a throne. Oh God, I believe that's the mercy seat. covered with the cherubim, covered in gold. And a candlestick. My God, Jesus stood among the candlesticks, didn't he? And when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. Know ye not, ye are the temple of the Lord? It fell on the day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And said unto Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. When he had called her, she stood before him. He said unto her, or he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or the captain of the host? What kind of prayer you got? You see, I love this kind of a testing thing. Is your prayer going to be selfish? I mean, do you want a promotion? Is that what you want? Do you want a promotion? I mean, I've seen you and your toil and all this temple and everything. So now, what do you want? Do you want to be a promoter? Do you want to be standing in the high court? That's what the disciples said. The mother said, Jesus, when you come into the kingdom, let one son be on one side and one on the other. Is that the kind of promotion you want? That's what the church world is preaching today. Come and find out what God's destiny is for your life. So he'll pose that question right to you, right to your heart. You come into this place to pray. Now what be your prayer? Did he not give that test to Solomon? He knew the desire of Solomon's heart. Solomon asked for wisdom that he might go in and out before the people. But see, we think we're going to trick him and say, Lord, you know, I'm not going to ask nothing for myself. I'm going to pray on behalf of so-and-so. Let me tell you something. It's inevitable in our blood to be selfish, in our nature. Let me tell you a little thing that I witnessed there Tuesday night at Food City. You know that little bitty buggy that you can push around? Not the big buggy, but the little buggy. Mommy gets up there. Well, here she got a little, I'd say she's about 4 years old. She's still reaching up, getting stuff out of the buggy. I'm just kind of standing back watching. She's got this buggy full. So the mama goes around on this side of the aisle of pain. Little girl's getting one out, handing it to the lady. Boop. Running through there. Bring it low. Boop. Going through there. And this little girl don't miss it. She's just talking to the counter lady. And the counter lady's talking to her, how you doing, little girl? Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm just helping mommy. We're grocery shopping and all this. And oh, yeah, all the things is good. She went, shh, grabbed a Reese's cup. Boop. Mommy said, but you see, I mean, it was without. It was just boop, boop, boop. She didn't even miss a beat. Because you know what her thinking is. Well, I've done helped mommy. And my reward, thou thus should award me, the great four-year-old buggy-pushing girl with a Reese cup. Isn't that Christianity today? Lord, look what I've did for you. Lord, I've done all this thing for now. Give me my reward. My reward is a great big house and a crown and ruling 5 cities and 10 cities. And me and Jesus are going to fix all of this stuff. I bought all that junk. I've listened to it in the prophetic words and all these other things. And it's always God is about. Isn't it? I can tell you right now, when you hear the God is about to, throw it out the window. I used to catch catfish with that. I call it stink bait. Because that's what it is. God is about to. He's already did it. Jesus said it's finished. Let me just keep on reading. What kind of prayer do you got? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. I know how to be content. Wherever I am. I know how to be content wherever I am. I dwell among my own people, Lord. This is just about you. I know you're a man of God, and I just like you to dwell in my house. I don't need no stand with the people. I don't need no your destiny. I don't need none of that stuff. Now you see this test, Patty, is, and Elisha here, he says, in Matthew 6, what's the next verse? Your Father, which seeth in secret, he knows all the things you have need of before you ask. Elijah's saying, I know what you need before you ask. Now, go tell the woman. 18. It said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie to thy handmaid. But the woman conceived and bare a son. You know this story. The woman conceived and bare a son. But what happened? I looked up these words right here. She bare a son, and then all of a sudden, the son says, my head, my head. My head, my head. Brings him to his father, and his father ends up taking him to his mom. He lays on his mom's knees, and he dies. My head, my head. You know what? You know, my thinking was, I went right to Genesis, guys. I'll bruise Satan's head with that seed. Bruise Satan's head. How did he do that? My God, it's the same thing in Moses. Lift up a brass serpent. He became it. He became that first man, Adam, and swallowed him up. My head, my head. Took the head out of the way. Let me just keep on reading. Now this woman, she comes to the prophet Gehazi. She comes to Gehazi. You know the story. She comes to Gehazi. Prophet of God sees her coming and says, go speak to the woman. Is it well with thee? She said, it's well with thee. Then she comes on up and says, Lord, the Lord hid it from me. I didn't see that this woman is sore vexed. Her child is dead. Gehazi, run. Don't go by the left or go by the right. Take my staff and lay it upon him. Take my cross and lay it upon the child. Now it's a child, Patty. It's a child. It's no longer a son here. It's a child. See, always keep in mind that a child is born, a son is given. Go lay the cross upon the child. I got bad news for you. The child ain't coming back. Child ain't coming back. He went, I mean, you can read it right here. He laid that cross upon that child, and that child didn't move. That child didn't move. And Elisha was coming to the house. Behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. Now remember, we're in the most holy place right here. We're in the secret chamber here where prayer is. And he went in therefore and shut the door. Jesus said, when you enter into the secret place, shut the door. Shut the door. Upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. You know, I read in the scriptures where he says he opens and no man shuts. He shuts and no man opens. He entered into the place where the child was, Clyde, and he shut the door. Shut the door. And he went up and lay upon the child. Put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, his hands upon his hands. Stretched himself upon the child. And the flesh of the child waxed warm. Man, this sounds exactly like Elijah, don't it? Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon the child. Sneezed seven times and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said unto her, call the Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was coming to him, see, this is, I mean, call the Shunammite. They didn't know what we're doing. We're calling them. We're calling them. Go by the hedges. Go by the wayside. Go call them and call them and tell the woman. Don't take up the child. We've known Jesus after the flesh, but we know him this way no more. A child is born, a son is given. People are still preaching the child. But what's he say? Woman, take up thy son. Receive thy son. Sir, we would see Jesus. Woman, receive thy son. Woman, receive thy son. Now, I'm gonna finish up right here, Jeff. I'm going to finish up right here. And you know what she did? Then she went in and fell at his feet, bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son. She worshiped. My God, I told you, prayer and worship was going to go hand in hand. You don't have one without the other. But I ain't left something out here. Remember, he that's least in the kingdom is greater than John. Now we got a child that we're doing away with here. So let's just go on this last little bit right here. Because I know you've never seen this before. Matthew 18. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? My God, we got to answer this question, ain't we? Because he said, I can tell you, he that's least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Well, don't that automatically pose a question then to our flesh? Well, then, by God, who's the greatest? I mean, I got to be greater than y'all. I mean, I'm the great preacher here. I got to be greater than y'all. I got to be George. I mean, this is just flesh thinking, ain't it? This is the deeds of the Nicolaitan. I'm the great preacher, and y'all are here to support me and all this. This ain't got nothing to do with about one body. This is getting my standing. Remember, Elijah asked, what do you want? What kind? Do you want a standing with God? Is that what you want? Do you want to be on the right hand or left hand? I mean, disciples here, they got this question. But Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. My God, this is Elijah. This is a little child. And he calls the little child and set the little child amongst him. And I know how we always do this, because we always say, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever thou shalt for shall humble himself as the little child. Wait a minute. What happened to the little child? The little child died. Do you see? We always say, well, you got to be humble. That means you got to trust. That means you got to believe God like a little child. And you got to, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you what, I just read you two stories, and the little child died in both of them. So except you become as a little child. And the little child was placed in this place of holiness, in the place of the most holiest of all, and laid on a bed, were baptized into his death, buried with him by baptism. So except you become as a little child, can no wise enter the kingdom. Whosoever thou shalt for humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The same one that's the least in the kingdom of heaven is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, how could this be? Because there's only one in the kingdom of heaven. And all live by that one. Does that make any sense? There's only one that lives here. Woman, behold thy son. That's what Jesus said to his mother. Woman, behold thy son. Now, I hope I give you some things to think about anyway. So now you know, guys, when they tell you, except you become as a little child, he ain't talking about you and your innocence, because I'm going to tell you what, you ain't innocent. He's talking about the little child that died, same one that David brought forth, that died. So except you become as that little child, Paul said this, and I'll quit right here. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I acted as a child. I did all these childish things, but when I became a man, childish things. He that's least in the kingdom is same as he that's greatest in the kingdom.